driving that buzzer.
It is. And she looks excited. Let's see what happened.
Mom,
what is it, Enzo? What's happened?
Sandy, Frank, I found Mr. Richards and delivered your message, and then I went back to the carriage house. And when I got there, I found Professor Mitchell on the floor unconscious.
Good night. I should have guessed.
Put the magic lantern in there. What happened here?
It's been stolen again.
Stolen? Very well, you've let the crooks get away. You've bungled this whole affair. NBC presents The Adventures of Frank Merriwell. There it is, an echo of the past. An exciting past, a romantic past, the era of the horse and carriage, gasless streets, and free-for-all football games. The era of one of the most beloved figures in American fiction, Frank Merriwell. Merriwell is loved as much today as ever he was. And so the National Broadcasting Company brings him to radio in a new series of stories based on the famous books written by Gilbert Patton under the pen name Bert L. Standish. Today, The Magic Lantern Mystery. The summer season in Atlantic City, where Frank and Bart have spent their vacations, is drawing to a close. And the whole resort town is busy preparing a celebration to mark the event. And so as our story opens today, we find Frank and Inza Burridge on the crowded boardwalk waiting to meet Bart.
I wish Bart would hurry, Frank. I'm anxious to get a look at the float we're going to drive in the parade.
So am I, Inza, but we've got plenty of time. Bart wanted to stop over at our hotel to see if we got any mail.
What sort of float is this we're going to drive? You never did tell me.
Oh, it's the one entered by the Jackson Taffy Shop.
Oh.
A lot of the local merchants are entering floats in the parade. They were short of drivers, and that's how they happened to ask some of the lifeguards if they'd volunteer.
I'm glad you and Bart agreed to drive one. It'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, here comes Bart.
Oh, dear.
Oh, here we are.
Oh, hello, Frank.
Hello, Inza. Hope I didn't keep you waiting.
Only a few minutes, Bart.
Get any mail?
Oh, just this for you. From the football coach. I got one, too.
Oh, probably a notice to report for preseason training.
Yeah, that's what it is. We'll be up at Blue Lake first by the next week for 10 days of training.
My goodness, it's hard to believe football season nearly here again.
It can't come soon enough for me.
Oh, by the way, Frank, I got this telegram from my father.
Read it.
Professor Mitchell demonstrating new improved magic lantern in Atlantic City. Stop. Check on it and advise. Stop. May wish to make investment. Stop. Urgent. Well, that's odd. What's it all about?
I was puzzled myself at first. I made some inquiries about it over at the hotel. That's what took me so long.
What did you learn?
Well, this new magic lantern is going to be demonstrated over at Municipal Hall sometime today.
Municipal Hall? That's where the parade starts, isn't it?
Exactly, isn't it? I thought maybe we could go over there now. We might be able to see this Professor Mitchell and find out just where and when he's going to hold the demonstration.
It sounds interesting. I've heard about these magic lanterns, but I've never seen one.
Neither have I. Everyone says they're quite remarkable, though.
Well, beats me why Dad would want to invest in something like that. A little more than a toy. I suppose I'll have to look into it for him.
Well, if I know anything about your father's judgment, Bud, there's probably going to be a big future in him. Anyhow, let's see if we can find this Professor Mitchell.
Bart Hodges. Yeah, don't tell me that you're Oliver Hodges' boy.
That's right, Professor Mitchell. In fact, it was Dad who asked me to look you up. He's interested in that new machine of yours.
Well, it is most flattering, I must say. But I always knew Oliver Hodges a shrewd man. Now, I suppose you and your young friends here would like to see a demonstration of the machine.
We certainly would, sir, if you don't mind, of course.
Mind, I should be delighted.
We've never seen an actual motion picture before.
Is that so? Well, then you'll be doubly interested.
Do you have the machine here in the hall, Professor?
Yes, but I haven't completely assembled it yet. But I'm holding a demonstration for the members of the convention at 8 o'clock tonight.
Oh, then we may see it.
You may see it before that, if you prefer.
We can't very well wait now, Bart. Don't forget the parade.
Well, that's true. It starts in less than half an hour.
Parade?
Yes, sir. We volunteered to drive a float in the city parade this afternoon.
Yes, that parade, yes. Well, that means you're here. You may still see a private demonstration of the projector.
Well, how's that, sir?
I've arranged to give a private showing for a special committee from the convention. They're to meet right here immediately after the parade.
Oh, you mean we can see the machine then?
Well, I don't see why not. I'm most anxious that you inspect this projector of mine and report to your father. Will you come then?
Oh, we sure will. Right here in the Municipal Hall immediately after the parade. Is that right?
That's right. I shall be looking forward to seeing you there.
And we'll be looking forward to seeing that lantern projector of yours, Professor Mitchell.
Good.
But right now, we've got to hustle outside. I think the parade is starting to form.
Professor
That must be our float, number 5 over there.
That's it. There's the sign, Jackson's Taffy Shop.
Oh, my, what a huge float. What's that machine up there in the middle of it, Frank?
Well, that's a taffy pulling machine, isn't it? You're going to ride up there and throw those taffy kisses to the spectators as we travel along.
That sounds like fun. Shall we climb up there now?
Just a minute, folks.
Oh, wait a second. Is it? Someone's calling.
Oh, yes, sir. What is it?
Are you the boys assigned to my float?
If this is yours, we are.
My name's Jackson, man, the owner of the taffy shop.
Oh, glad to know you, sir. I'm Frank Merrowell, and this is Bart Hodge. We're from the lifeguard station.
How are you? How do you do?
And this is Miss Enza Bird. She volunteered to help us out.
Well, well, a pretty girl certainly will dress up the float. Glad to have you with us, Miss Burridge.
Thank you.
We thought she could be the one to toss out those sample taffy kisses.
Hey, good idea. And I guess you've got everything straight.
Yes, sir. We're ready to go.
I won't bother you anymore then. Oh, yes, there is something else.
Oh, yes, sir?
I'll have a man waiting at the Atlantic Avenue end of the parade. You can let him take over the float there and drive it back to the shore.
We'll do that, Mr. Jackson.
Fine. Good luck, Ben. Nice to meet all of you.
Well, I guess we're ready. Come on, Enza. I'll help you up to the top of the float.
All right, Frank.
Just hold the reins for your sight.
Just one moment, number 5. Hold her up, please.
Here comes somebody else, Frank. Must be a parade committee man, judging by the badge.
Are you calling us, sir?
Yes, my name's Richards, and I'm the parade marshal.
Was anything wrong?
Nothing serious. I want to make a little change, that's all.
Change?
Yes, you notice anything about the float just ahead of you?
Why, no, it's quite a bit like this one.
Just the point. Bad arrangement. No variety. Now, I'm going to switch you back to number 8 position. Hope you don't mind the last minute shift.
Oh, not at all, sir. It's nothing to ask. But what about the number 8 float?
I'll have him take your number 5 spot and swap numbers with you. Now, get your horses turned around and go back down the line to your new position. I want to get this parade started as soon as possible.
Right you are, Mr. Richards. All right, hang on, Enza. Here we go. Giddy up, boys. How are you back there, Enza?
Fine, Frank. The parade over now?
That's right. The end of the line. We can get down from this float in a minute.
Well, that's good.
So what's our next move, Frank?
Well, Mr. Jackson said he'd have a man here to pick up the float. We'll have to wait until he comes, I guess.
Yes, I suppose. Say, what's going on up ahead? Sounds like trouble.
I don't know. It's hard to see past the float ahead of us. Enza, can you see what's going on up the line?
Yes, Frank. Some kind of excitement. Like a fight. It's float number 5.
Fight? We better go see about it.
No, Bart, we can't leave our float. Somebody will stop us.
Oh, my goodness, look at that.
What happened?
Well, that man pulled the driver off the float and he's climbing into the driver's seat himself.
Well, why doesn't somebody stop it?
There comes the policeman. But the man's trying to get away.
Look, there it goes. I can see it myself now.
Hey, look at that. He's driving that float off at breakneck speed.
You see it, Frank? What's it all about?
I wish I knew. He certainly can't get far with that thing.
No, why would anyone want to steal a parade float anyway? Doesn't make any sense.
Well, it must be some kind of prank. Well, it's none of our business anyhow. We've got to get rid of our own float and go over to Municipal Hall for your appointment.
Yes, I know. We don't want to miss that demonstration. Oh, where is that man Jackson, Sam?
Hey, you boys up there.
What is it, Mr. Richards?
You'll have to drive your float away. We're disbanding the parade now.
Well, we're waiting for a man from Jackson's taffy shop to pick it up.
They can't help that. After what happened just now, the police ordered us to clear the streets. You'll have to drive the float back yourselves. Better get a move on, boys.
A fine thing. We'll never get to that meeting. The taffy shop's through to the other end of town. We ought to leave the thing right here.
Oh, we can't do that. You heard what Mr. Richards said.
We certainly can't take it with us to Municipal Hall.
Now, wait a minute. I have an idea. We pass our hotel on the way to the hall. Why couldn't we park this thing in the carriage house there until after the demonstration?
Sure. Then we could deliver it to the taffy shop ourselves. Well, Mr. Jackson won't mind as long as he gets the float back in good condition. Besides, we've got to make that meeting.
Then it's settled. Hang on, Enza. We're going for another ride. Giddy up, boys.
Well, I'm so glad that you young people could manage to attend the demonstration. The members of the committee should be here any moment.
Oh, someone's coming in the door right now.
Oh, yes, so they are. Well, that's better. We'll be able to get underway shortly.
Frank, look, it's that Mr. Richards again.
He really gets around, doesn't he?
Well, you know Mr. Richards.
Oh, he's a fine gentleman.
Very public-spirited. Ah, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Well, Professor Mitchell, good to see you again. May I present my fellow committeeman, Mr. Howland?
How do you do, sir?
It's a pleasure. But, Richards, I had no idea we were coming here to see the professor.
I know, Howland, but I had to keep the purpose of this meeting a secret until we all were here.
A secret? I don't understand.
Well, of course not, but I'll explain. Since Professor Mitchell's formal demonstration tonight will primarily be to raise funds for his magic lantern, the committee must see it in operation first to make sure it's a worthy enterprise.
Why didn't you tell me of this before?
Because there's a great deal of interest in this new machine. Professor Mitchell asked me to keep the demonstration strictly confidential.
That's quite true, Mr. Howland, I did. However, I did take the liberty of inviting these young people. I believe you know them, Mr. Richards.
Oh, yes, the young people from the parade.
Now, see here, Richards, I wish you'd told me about this special showing. I don't like the idea at all.
Why, what do you mean?
It's an insult to Professor Mitchell, as I see it.
Oh,
he's a respectable scientist, not a fly-by-night. Seems to me a man of his reputation and stature could be trusted without resorting to this preliminary checkup.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Howland. We didn't intend it that way.
Just the same, this special showing should be called off. Let's show Professor Mitchell a little more respect.
Now, look here.
No, no, gentlemen, please. Your concerns and my feelings are very flattering, Mr. Howland, but I quite understand Mr. Richard's position, too. I'm perfectly willing to hold this preliminary demonstration. In fact, I insist on holding it.
I knew you'd see it our way, Professor Mitchell. Besides, Howland, it's too late to call it off.
Well, I suppose so. There's nothing to do but to go through with it. Where's the rest of the committee?
Well, they should be arriving any moment. Which reminds me, it's high time that I set up the operator.
Would you like us to help you, sir?
Would you mind? It is heavy, but you lads are touchy enough.
Where is it, Professor?
Well, it's locked in that closet over there. Here is the key.
Thank you, sir. Come on, boy.
And now, if the rest of you gentlemen will help me arrange the chairs...
Sure thing.
Isn't it exciting?
So here's the closet, friend. You got the key? Hey, look. What's happened to this lock? Bart, this door has been broken open. How do you like that?
Are you having trouble, boys? Do you need any help?
Professor Mitchell, come here. This door has been forced open.
Forced open? My goodness, what does this mean?
Your magic lantern projector isn't here, sir.
It's been stolen.
Stolen? Good heavens, but how? Why?
What is this? How did it happen?
Look for yourself.
My demonstration. How am I going to hold my demonstration?
Obviously, you can't, sir, unless we can recover your machine.
This is terrible. It must be reported to the police at once. I'll go for them.
I'll come along with you, Richard. We'll have to tell the other members of the committee.
Go ahead, gentlemen. We'll stay here and search this hall, just in case.
Very well. And Mitchell, if you learn anything, get in touch with us at the hotel.
I will. You may be sure. Oh, dear me, what a terrible thing to happen. And today of all days.
Well, Professor, we searched the whole building. There's no trace of your machine.
I didn't expect there would be. It's been stolen, all right. I hope Mr. Richards has notified the police.
Well, I'm sure he has, Professor, but maybe we can help in the meantime.
I wish you would, but what is there to do? I've never faced a problem like this before.
Suppose you start by giving us a little information.
To be sure, but what information?
When did you see your machine last?
Well, now, let me think. This morning. Yes, I remember. I just finished checking it, and I locked it up in the closet while I went to lunch. And that was just before you young people first came in.
I see. Were you out of the building at any time after we left to go to the parade?
No, I've been right here the whole time.
Well, when you went out to lunch, had the parade already started to form?
Yes, it had. I remember seeing the float parked outside.
What do you ask? Well, don't you see, sir? At least we know the magic lantern was stolen at just about the time the parade was starting to form.
Well, that's all very well, Frank, but it doesn't get us very far.
No, almost anyone could have walked in here, broken the lock, and walked out with the magic lantern.
Well, it's not as simple as that, Ed. Professor, how heavy was that machine? Could one person carry it?
No, indeed. It's quite bulky. I should say it would take at least two men.
I thought so. And obviously, two men couldn't walk along the street in broad daylight carrying a machine that large.
Well, what about a wagon or a cart, Frank? Couldn't they have loaded it into that?
Well, they could, except for one thing. The street was blocked off out there for the parade. Only the floats in the parade were on the street at the time of the robbery.
Yes, that's true. But that makes the whole thing seem quite impossible.
But, Frank, what about the floats themselves? Couldn't the thieves have hidden it on one of them?
Exactly what I've been driving at, Inza. I'd almost be willing to bet that's what happened.
Floats, of course. I'll bet that's how they did it.
Dear me, I'm getting more confused all the time. What can we do now?
Now, let me think. Of course. Bart, you remember when we went out to our float, Mr. Jackson was waiting there for us?
Well, sure. He'd probably been there all along.
Right. And if two men had come out of the building carrying the magic lantern between them, he would certainly have seen them.
Do you think he could identify the thieves, sir?
Well, at least he could tell us which float they loaded in.
Now we're really getting someplace.
Right. And our next stop is the Jackson Taffy Shop. Come on.
I managed to get this rig at delivery stable.
I'll help you in, sir.
Thanks,
Fine. Hop aboard, Professor. Here, I'll give you a hand.
Thank you, my boy. I won't go. Here comes Mr. Howland. What happened to your friend Richard?
I imagine he's still reporting this unfortunate affair to the police.
Oh.
I happened to run into the rest of the committee and told them the demonstration had been postponed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you folks have any news?
Well, nothing definite, but my young friends here have some rather good ideas that may lead us somewhere.
Good. I see you've hired a buggy. Where are you going?
To investigate a lead, Mr. Howland. I think it might take us eventually to the professor's missing magic lantern.
Well, that sounds interesting. Mind if I tag along?
Oh, not at all, old fellow. Hop aboard by all means.
Thank you. I believe I will. Oh, you people talk like you actually expect to recover the machine.
With any luck at all, Mr. Holland, we do. And now, if you're all settled, let's get started.
There's the top, Frank. In this lock.
Hi, kid. All right. Hey, looks like the place is closed.
Yeah, does it that? Oh, well, there's a card there on the door, though. Let's see what it says.
Now, come along.
Hey, look at that. Closed for the day.
I guess we're out of luck.
Isn't anyone there, Frank?
Well, the place is locked up, isn't it?
Oh, what a shame. Well, can't we find out where Mr. Jackson lives?
We'll try.
Oh, wait. Frank, listen.
I hear it. That knocking is coming from inside this door.
What do you suppose it is?
I don't know. I'm going to find out.
We'll see how we'll get in. The door is probably locked.
No. Now, look. It's open. Wait there, Enza. We'll be right out.
All right, Frank.
The sound's coming from in here, all right. Let's find it.
We hear that?
It's a man.
I think it came from this closet.
Found a gag. Come on, let's get him loose.
Free his arms. I'll get the gag.
Thank heavens you hurt.
In just a second, I'll have your hands loose.
Well, what are you doing in here? And where's Mr. Jackson?
Mr. Jackson? Why, I'm Mr. Jackson.
You are? Oh, that's impossible. We saw him this afternoon.
Wait, why? The more of this is beginning to make sense. How long have you been tied up here, Mr. Jackson?
Since before the parade. Two armed men came in, held me up at the point of a gun, bound and gagged me, and threw me in this closet.
Just before the parade, you say?
Yes. First, I naturally thought they were robbing me, but they left the shop immediately. I don't know what their game was.
I think I do. Did you send anyone down to Municipal Hall with your float?
Well, no, certainly not. I was going myself.
And that man who said he was Jackson...
Undoubtedly, one of the men who held up the real Mr. Jackson. And, of course, you didn't arrange to have anyone pick up the float at the end of the parade.
How could I? I never left this blasted closet.
So you see what happened, Bart? Someone used Mr. Jackson's float, the one we were driving, to hide the stolen magic lantern.
But no one came near the float once we got on it. How could they get the magic lantern back again?
That's just the point. They couldn't. Remember that fight we saw at the end of the parade?
Oh, sure. It makes sense now. We changed position in the parade, and someone stole the float that was in our old position.
I wish someone would tell me what this is all about. Magic lanterns, floats, you're all talking in riddles. Where is my float? What happened?
Take it easy, Mr. Jackson. Your float is perfectly safe for the moment. Fortunately, the crooks have no way of knowing where we hid it.
You think the professor's machine is still in it?
Of course, it would have to be.
There you go again. What is this machine and where is my float?
Right now, Mr. Jackson, your float is in the carriage house of the Gordon Hotel.
The Gordon Hotel? Say, what is this? Who are you fellas?
We'll explain it all on the way. We've got a buggy waiting outside, and it's going to take us to the Gordon Hotel just as fast as we can make it.
Well, Frank, there's the float just as we left it.
You mean to tell me my float's been here ever since the parade?
That's right, Mr. Jackson.
And you think my machine is hidden somewhere on the floor?
I'm counting on it, Professor. Come on, Bart, let's start searching.
It's going to be hard to find if the projector is as big as Professor Mitchell says.
I know. There are only a couple of places it could be. Under this bunny, for instance.
Nothing here on this end.
No, I don't see it either, is there?
Oh, wait. Professor Mitchell, come around on this side of the float.
Why, what is it? What have you found?
Look here. Concealed on the bottom of the wagon under this bunny.
My projection machine, you found it. Oh, thank goodness for that. I hope it hasn't been damaged.
Well, then you were right, Mr. Merriwell. The magic lantern actually was hidden in your float. But why on earth did the thieves leave it here after going to so much trouble to steal it?
I think I have a good idea what happened, Mr. Holland. You see, our original place in the parade was number 5. But at the last minute, we were shifted back to the number 8 position.
Yes. Only that was after the crooks had stolen the machine and hidden in our float.
But the third crook, who was to pick up the float at the end of the parade, didn't know about the change. He thought the other float was the one in which the projector was hidden.
Oh, I see. That's why that man stole the other float at the end of the parade.
Right, Inter.
But by this time, they must have discovered how their plan went wrong, and they'll be looking for this float.
By heaven, I'd like to catch those crooks. I'm going to charge them with assault.
And I want to charge them with robbery.
Don't worry, gentlemen. We're going to catch them now.
We still haven't any idea who they are.
Maybe not, but we've got the bait to catch them. Professor Mitchell's projector.
What's your plan, Merriwell?
You can all help. Now, Inza.
Yes, sir.
I want you to go and find Mr. Richards. Tell him the demonstration will be held at Municipal Hall tonight, on schedule.
I'll go right away.
Oh, wait. Make sure you don't tell him anything else about what has happened.
You mean about finding the magic lamp? Why?
Because until this is cleared up, everyone is under suspicion. You understand?
All right, Frank. I won't tell him anything except about the meeting.
What about the rest of us?
Now, you can help too, Mr. Howland. I want you to go to the police and ask them to send two officers out to Mr. Jackson's store.
The taffy shop? Very well. I suppose you know what you're doing.
Well, how about the rest of us, Frank?
Now, I want Professor Mitchell to stay here in the carriage house and guard his invention.
I certainly shall. I never intend to let it out of my sight again.
As for Bart and Mr. Jackson, they'll go back out to the taffy shop with me.
Well, what's the idea, Frank? Why there?
Because the crooks are going to be looking for this missing float. And the first place they'll look is out there, and they won't be disappointed. The float will be there, but so will we waiting to nab them. Now, does everyone understand what they are to do?
Right.
Good. Now, we haven't much time, so let's get started.
Frank, we've been waiting here almost an hour now.
Yes, Mr. Merriwell, I hate to say it, but it looks like your plan has gone wrong somewhere.
I can't understand it. They should have shown up by this time.
Those cops, Holland said, are still waiting across the street in the alley. We're going to have a tough time explaining this to them.
I know. We can all... Hey, who's this?
It looks like Inza driving that bus.
It is. And she looks excited. Let's see what happened.
Mom, what is it?
What is it, Inza? What's happened?
Lenny, Frank, I saw Mr. Richards and delivered your message, and then I went back to the carriage house. And when I got there, I found Professor Mitchell on the floor, unconscious.
Good night, I should have
put the magic lantern in there. What happened here?
It's been stolen again.
Stolen? Merriwell, you've let the crooks get away. You've bungled this whole affair.
They haven't escaped yet, Mr. Jackson. Quick, Inza, where's Mitchell now?
Well, when I was trying to bring him through, Mr. Howland came back to the carriage house. He got the professor back on his seat and took him over to their hotel.
And where is Richards now?
Over at the hotel, too. That's where I gave him your message. Oh, Frank, isn't it awful? The whole plan is ruined.
Not yet it isn't. We can still catch this crook red-handed.
Oh, I wish I knew how. We still haven't got any good clue to his identity.
Oh, yes, we have, Bart. In fact, I know who it is. Get into the buggy, everyone. We're going back to the hotel and nab this mastermind right now.
Yes? Oh, it's you, Mr. Merriwell.
Mr. Richards, my friends and I would like you to come down the corridor to Mr. Holland's room. We have a little matter that has to be cleared up at once.
Look here, this is the second cryptic message I've had from you. What's this all about? What about the stolen machine? Burridge here wouldn't tell me whether or not it had been recovered.
You'll find that out for yourself if you'll just come along with us.
Oh, very well, if you insist. And I'm sure I don't know what Howell will think of us bursting in on him this way.
Well, we don't think he'll mind, Mr. Richards, as long as we get this affair cleaned up.
Of course, I'm as anxious as anyone to get to the bottom of it. But where is Professor Mitchell?
We're hoping he'll be in Mr. Holland's room. Right, here we are. Let's find out.
Just a minute.
Good afternoon, sir.
Oh, I thought you were the doctor. I sent for him to fix up poor Mitchell's head.
Is the professor feeling better now, Mr. Holland?
Now, come in and see for yourself. He took a nasty blow, and he has a splitting headache, of course.
After you, Inza.
Thanks, sir.
Well, we've quite a crowd here.
Well, hello, boys. Miss Burridge told you about the attack on me, I presume.
I'm sorry about that, Professor. I never should have left you alone there. I might have known.
Nonsense. My boy, it wasn't your fault at all. The really distressing part of it is that I've lost my precious lantern again.
Oh, but you haven't, sir.
What's that?
I'm glad I could get all of you together here. We'll have plenty of reliable witnesses now when the real thief confesses.
Real thief? See here, young man. Are you implying that one of us attacked the professor and stole the machine?
I am, Mr. Richards, and I know which one.
You can't make an accusation like that, sir. Why,
let him talk, Richards. This should be interesting.
It should be, Mr. Howland, especially to you, because, you see, you're the man I'm talking about.
What? Mr. Howland? Oh, look here, Frank, you're mistaken.
Not this time, Professor Mitchell. Mr. Howland has practically told us he is guilty.
Told you? Now, come, boy. You're making a fool of yourself.
Am I? Then suppose you explain one little fact to me. Why didn't your accomplices show up at Jackson's store, the first place they would certainly have gone to look for the missing float? Why did they show up instead at the hotel carriage house?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Then I'll tell you. Those accomplices went to the carriage house because they were tipped off that the missing machine was there. Now, of all the people in this room, only Mr. Richards didn't know that fact.
That's true. I had no idea it had been recovered.
As for the rest of you, Mr. Jackson was with me the whole time. He had no opportunity to tip off anyone.
Of course I didn't.
And Professor Mitchell certainly didn't steal his own projector and knock himself unconscious.
This is preposterous.
That leaves only you, Holland. You knew where the float was hidden, and you had plenty of time while you were out calling the police to tip off your accomplices and recover the magic lantern.
You're right, Frank. He's our man.
Without a doubt. I shall prefer charges immediately.
Oh, no, you won't. Now stand back, everyone.
Good gracious. A revolver.
I'm getting out of here. Don't anyone try to stop me.
Don't.
All right, everybody. Don't move or I'll shoot.
Now! Look out for the gunner! That takes care of Mr. Holland. Help me get him to his feet. He's got a date with the police.
Yeah, that should do it. And, how does it sound, Frank? Tom Mitchell's magic lantern, it's marvelous. Might be worth investment if you still believe there's a future in motion pictures. Your loving son, Bart.
Well, that should cover it. Better send it now. We've got to get back to the hotel and pack our bags.
Oh, golly, that's right. You're leaving tomorrow for Blue Lake, aren't you?
For 10 days of preseason football training. I can hardly wait to get back into football uniform again.
Well, the whole training season will be over before we get out of Atlantic City if you don't send that wire.
All right, I'll send it. I sort of hate going away.
Why on earth did you, Bart?
Well, you know my father. He's all excited about this motion picture projector. He'll probably invest a lot of money in it.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, nothing. But, well, you know as well as I do, it'll never be any more than a curiosity. I'd rather he invest it in something more practical.
And so ends another exciting adventure with Frank Merriwell, beloved hero of American fiction, brought to you in a new series of stories by the National Broadcasting Company. And be sure to listen again next week at the same time when Frank Merriwell returns in another of his celebrated exploits. Frank is played by Lawson Zerbe, Bart is Hal Studer, and in Jersey Lane Ross. Other members of the cast were Michael Sage, Edgar Staley, Richard Keith, and Guy Sorrell. Original music is by Paul Taubman. The Adventures of Frank Merriwell is written by Ruth and Gilbert Braun and William Welch, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Cuney. Frank Merriwell with a very important message for all of you. Frank?
That's right. This is an important message. The most important he's ever brought you. Just the other day, Bart and I were talking about you and all the other boys and girls who listen to our adventures every week, and we were thinking how every American youngster dreams of going to college someday, just as Bart and I do. Now, we knew that sometimes it just isn't possible for all boys and girls to continue their education after high school, no matter how much they may want to. And right then and there, a great idea was born.
I'll say it's a great idea, Frank. Come on, let's tell them all about it right now.
Oh, I wish we could, Bart, but there isn't time. We'll have to wait until next week.
Oh, I guess you're right. But look, all of you, whatever you do, don't miss it.
And tell your friends to listen, too. They'll want to hear the news.
I'll say they will, Inza. This is something that may mean a lot to you and your future.
Right you are, Bart. Well, there it is. So plan to meet us here next week at the same time so we can tell you about our big surprise. Is it a date?
Remember to meet the Meeks 1/2 hour from now, and stay tuned now for The Adventures of Archie Andrews, heard over most of these NBC stations. This is Mel Brand speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.